Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praises in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the other day during time that was certainly well spent, I was goofing around on my phone with this face aging app that I found. Basically, the way this app works is you enter a picture of someone's face in, and it'll show you what that person will look like when they're older. So, of course, I took the time to enter in my picture, and here were the results. It is kind of a scary picture, if you ask me. Especially considering the app said it was only going to age me by about 25 years, it looks like it's going to be a tough 25 years for me. I showed this picture to someone. They said, well, Pastor Ryan, you do have a daughter now. You should expect to age just a little bit faster, perhaps. I was glad to see that my hair didn't thin out too bad. I knew these were just widow's peaks, despite what a few people have said to me. Well, for fun, I decided to snap a few photos of the people on the St. John's staff and enter them into this app to show you all this morning, at least the ones that were willing. Shockingly, it was divided strictly down gender lines. Who was willing to let me show close-ups of their face to the entire congregation and then age them by 25 years? But here is just a taste of what the staff directory will look like in a couple decades or so. Here is our youth director, Paul. That's the face that's going to be greeting the kids there, huh? Here's our music director, Mr. Noah Gunderman. Glad to see he's still going to be rocking the mustache in 25 years there. And of course, our fearless leader, our senior pastor, Pastor Ryan Clark, there he is. And I'll be honest, it does look like that hair thinned out just a little bit there, huh? If we live long enough, we are all going to experience changes like that, aren't we? Because everything changes, doesn't it? Well, almost everything. We have a God who makes an amazing promise to us that he never changes, and that's the promise that we're going to talk about as we continue our sermon series, Good to His Word, where we're talking about the many amazing promises of our promise-making and, vastly more important, promise-keeping God. And he promises to us several times in Scripture this amazingly beneficial promise that he does not change. We heard that promise several times this morning already from Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. An amazing promise and frankly something that we are not used to because everything else, it seems, changes. The weather, it changes every day, doesn't it? Sometimes several times a day here in Minnesota. The seasons, they change every few months. We're experiencing a season change right now. The styles, the clothes that people wear, they change every few years, every decade or so. Think about what people are wearing 100 years ago and 50 years ago and 10 years ago. The styles have changed. Even the change changes, doesn't it? I mean, think about the changes the penny has gone through over the years. And speaking of changing change, well, the penny is actually slated to go away entirely in 2026. The U.S. is going to stop minting those bad boys. Everything changes, but our God promises that he never changes. Last week, Pastor Clark used what he described as a $10 word to tell us how God is present everywhere. He is omnipresent. Well, how about an $11 word to describe the fact that our God never changes? He is immutable. God's character is eternally consistent. He does not change. And Scripture is internally consistent about that fact. It's not just Hebrews 13:8. Malachi 3:6, for I, the Lord, do not change. That is very cut and dry, isn't it? Or James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights who, wait for it, does not change like the shifting shadows. Or maybe you prefer Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? God does not change. That is his promise to you. This is very, very important, very, very beneficial to us. In fact, it would be an incredibly bad thing for us if God did change. So let's talk about that. What does it mean that God is immutable, that he does not change? What does that mean for the way that he interacts with us and how we should interact with him? Well, it's going to mean a couple of major things that we're going to talk about this morning. First, God's promise of immutability means his standards have not changed. In the Old Testament, God gives his people Israel those Ten Commandments, that moral law. Well, a lot of times today, people treat those Ten Commandments like they're just 10 suggestions, right? But God's moral law, his standard has not changed. We are still to follow that law. Now, Satan, he's going to work overtime trying to convince you that God's standards have changed. It's one of the best ways that he can lead us into sin. In fact, listen to what Daniel 7:25 says about the work of Satan in end times. It says he will speak against the Most High and oppress his holy people and try to change the set times and the laws. Satan wants to convince you that God's standards have changed. He's going to go about doing this in three major ways I found. First, he's going to come to you and tell you that God didn't really say the things that he absolutely 100% did say. It's the oldest trick in the book, Genesis 3:1. Satan, that snake, he's trying to lead Eve into temptation, trying to get her to eat fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he comes to her and says, did God really say you must not eat fruit from any tree in the garden? And guess what? Eve is not quite sure what God's words were on the matter. We know that for a fact because she misquotes God back to Satan in Genesis 3:2 and 3. And Satan, seeing that Eve isn't quite sure what God's words were, well, he sees his opportunity to strike with one of his classic half-lies, half-truths. He says, you will not certainly die, Eve, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And because Adam and Eve didn't know quite what God's words were on the matter, they're led into temptation, they fall into sin, and the rest of humanity falls into sin with them. And Satan, seeing how well this worked in the beginning, he's still going to try this trick with you and me today. He's going to come to us and say, did God really say? Is that really his standard? I don't know. I don't quite remember it being that way. That seems a little too tough or a little too easy. You want to know how you can be sure what God's standards are? You can read his word. You can go to the source and see what he has to say. Let this be about the thousand sermon where I told you to read your Bibles. It's the best defense against temptation that we have, the sword of the Spirit that is the word of God. When you read the Bible, when Satan comes to you and says, did God really say? You can say, absolutely, he said it. He said it right here. And my God does not change. So Satan, he's going to try to convince you that God's standards have changed by telling you that God didn't really say the things that he said. He's also going to come to you and say that God's standards are old-fashioned and therefore out of date. He's going to come and whisper in your ear, those standards, they were good for back then, but times have changed the world. Look around you. It's so much different than it was back then in Bible times. I mean, things are so much busier than back then. God can't actually expect you to keep a regular Sabbath. I know that's the third commandment, but come on now. That's old-fashioned and out of date. Or maybe he'll come to you with this one. He'll say, I know the Bible says you aren't to give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but have you looked around organized religion? It's such a mess. It was so much purer back then when that command was given. That rule is out of date. You'd be better off just doing church by yourself. You might think that God's standards are old-fashioned, but they are not out of date. God's moral law has not changed. We still are to follow that third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We still are to meet together as some were already in the habit of not doing back when that command was written. So Satan, he's going to come to you. He's going to try to convince you that God didn't really say the things that he said. He's going to try to convince you that God's standards are old-fashioned and out of date. And finally, and this is the most sinister one of all, he's going to come to you and say, because of Jesus, God doesn't care about your sin anymore. It's a half-truth. Half lie, very sinister, very insidious. He might say something like this. Jesus paid it all. So now all you have to do is love one another. Show kindness to one another. Be tolerant of one another and live freely, sinning as much as you want, because God just doesn't care about sin anymore now that Jesus has taken care of it. There are some truths up there, right? Jesus absolutely 100% did pay it all on the cross. It's a good thing for us to love one another and be kind to one another. We should not tolerate our sin for a single second, because God still does care about our sin and the way that it affects our relationships with each other and even with Him. Listen to what God's word has to say on the matter in Romans 6:1. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" Let me break that down for you. That passage is basically saying that we cannot out-sin the grace of God. For those who are in Christ Jesus, as much as they sin is as much will be forgiven. But God has called you to a new Christ-like life that you should want to live. We are to be like Jesus. That is the standard. And Jesus followed God's law perfectly. And as I said, you should want to live that life. Any rule that God gives you, it's for your benefit to follow. And beyond that, don't forget that all of your sins of past, present, and future are sins that Jesus had to go to the cross and die for, to pay the price for your sins. And speaking of Jesus, here's what he has to say on the matter in Matthew 5. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." In other words, Jesus, what he's saying here is he didn't come to change God's law. He came to follow it perfectly on behalf of us who fail to follow it perfectly each and every day. God's standards have not changed. And speaking of things that don't change, take a look in the Bible and you're going to read the story of people who it's just sin and sin and sin some more, who failed to meet God's unchanging standards, even the heroes of the faith. And as I said, some things never change. If you look around you today and then look in the mirror, you're going to see people who fail to meet God's unchanging standards. Don't deny it. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." God's standards haven't changed, and neither has the price that must be paid for sin. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. It doesn't say it was death. The price that must be paid for each and every sin that we commit is death, is separation from God. God's standards have not changed. You say, "Pastor Ryan, whoo, little fire and brimstone up there this morning. I thought you said it was a good thing, an incredibly important promise that God makes to us when you said he doesn't change." I'll be honest, I've been listening to every word that you said, and well, that all sounds kind of bad. Well, here you are, and perhaps there hasn't been a whole lot of good news out of my mouth yet this morning. But I'll tell you something else that hasn't changed over the last few weeks. It usually takes me around 20 minutes or so to get to my main point when I'm making one of these messages up here, and I believe I've only been preaching for about 13 or 14 minutes. So if you give me another 6 or 7 minutes here, I've got something to tell you that I think you're going to find, well, just as God's promise of immutability means his standards don't change, it also means his gospel hasn't changed. His grace, it applies to your present. Genesis 3:15, right after Adam and Eve fall into sin, here is God's words to them and to that snake, Satan. He says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." Right after sin, this is the response. God says, "I'm going to send a Messiah. I'm going to send a Savior. I'm going to send my son, Jesus Christ, who is going to deal with sin and death and the devil once and for all." And lest you think God was simply being reactionary to sin, Revelation 13:8 calls Jesus the Lamb of God who was slain from the creation of the world. Jesus was always the plan. That never changed. This was always the plan. Jesus suffering, bleeding, and dying on a cross for you. That was always the plan. That never change. And by the way, read the Old Testament sometime. Thousands of years of sin from the best of humanity didn't change that plan. God didn't look down during Old Testament times and see his people committing sin after sin after sin and say, whoa, never mind. Jesus, you're going to stay up here with me. And by the way, God has perfect foreknowledge too, doesn't he? Which means he was able to look into the future post-cross and see the sins that people would commit. And that didn't change his plan either. He saw all the sins. He sees the Apostle Paul having Christians dragged away and murdered. He sees the sins that Christians today make. He sees the sins that we commit, every single one. And that did not change the plan. That did not change the gospel. He still sends Jesus anyways. Romans 5:8 says it better than all of that. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God does not change. And that's incredible news. His standards haven't changed. His law hasn't changed, that moral law at least. And his gospel, it hasn't changed either. And so as we think about this incredible promise of God's immutability, how should that change the way that we live each and every day? Well, in a couple of pretty incredible ways. First, let's talk about that law for just 15 more seconds here. If God's standards don't change, and they don't, that moral law is still the same today. We are still to follow those Ten Commandments. We should remember that God's law in Scripture is important. We should know it. We should follow it, even if we don't like what it has to say. But when we fail to meet God's unchanging standards, which we will do each and every day, we should remember that the gospel doesn't change for us either. We should also live in light of the gospel each and every day. It doesn't just apply to our past. It applies to our present and future as well. Sometimes I think we only apply God's grace to our past and we're really hard on ourselves in the present. We fall for Satan's lies, unfortunately, after we commit maybe a particularly heinous sin. He comes to us and he whispers, God must be so mad at you for that. He's got to be so disappointed in you at least. He's got to be up there shaking his head right now, looking down and saying, wow, I thought they were better than that. They should know better by now. And we fall for that lie and we feel deep shame and deep guilt and we think God doesn't want anything to do with us anymore. Let me tell you something that should change the way that you react to each and every sin that you commit. When you sin, God isn't disappointed in you. Because for him to be disappointed, you have to be doing something that he truly didn't expect. And God has perfect foreknowledge. Like I said, he looks into our lives. He sees every sin that we have committed, will commit, are committing right now. And that didn't change the plan of our unchanging God. He still sends Jesus to die just for us. Anyways, God knows every sin that that guy on the left has committed, and God's grace applies to him. And God knows every sin that that old man on the right is going to commit, even though he should probably know better, shouldn't he? But God's grace does not change, and it covers over the sins of both of those fine gentlemen that you see up there right now. God does not change. And this leads me to my very important point of the day. When we sin, we shouldn't avoid God thinking he is mad at us. Jesus already absorbed the wrath we justly deserve. Because of that, even in the face of present sin, you shouldn't turn away from God thinking he's disappointed. He's not. You should realize God forgives you, that his grace has not changed, and you should be drawn deeper into your relationship with him. When you fail to meet God's unchanging standards, do not respond by turning away from him and thinking there needs to be some kind of cooling off period between you and him. No, go to his throne of grace as fast as you can and receive that grace that applies to your present and future sins. And then having been forgiven, get up and follow your unchanging God. May you do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.